I might not have preached a bad message, I just preached it in a bad way. But the important thing is the content of the message. I couldn't help, and again, I mentioned it last night, I felt the presence of the Lord among us last night in a very special way as we looked at the potter's wheel. We preached that message this morning. But I made mention last night that I don't orchestrate with the song leader the songs to correlate with the message. Maybe some men do, and maybe in some occasion that's a wise thing to do. But I let him do what God tells him to do, and he lets me do what God tells me to do. And this morning, the song that you just sung is very much pertinent to the message of the Word of God this morning. As an evangelist, my heart burns. As an evangelist, my soul craves for the salvation of men. I want Christians to be encouraged, yes. I want Christians to be edified, yes. But oh, that God would give us a generation of revival and repentance in America in which we will see lost sinners come to repentance. A verse came to my mind. It does tie into this morning's message, although I had not intended to use this passage of Scripture. But as we sang that song, there's a great day coming when the saint and the sinner will be parted right and left. The wheat from the tares will be separated. And God's final day of judgment will come. And I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. The subject of judgment is not always welcome. The judgment of hell, the subject of hell is not always pleasant. But we must face reality and know all that God has said in his book. The Bible says there is coming a great judgment day. That's where the songwriter got it from. And it said the dead will be judged according to the works. Why according to their works can never save them. Their works can never prevail. But there is no grace upon their life. There is no blood stain upon their soul. There is nothing more to judge them upon their works, which is, as the Bible says, as filthy rags in the sight of God. But all those names that are written in the book of life will enter into the joy of the Lord. Is your name in the book this morning? Do you have eternal life? Do you this morning have certainty of the destiny of your soul? Or do we just play church? You know all the right answers. You could quote all the Bible verses, but yet in your heart is the reality of a converted soul to Jesus. Does it exist in your life? This morning, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 24. This morning, we shall look in the pages of Scripture. And from the pages of the Holy Bible, we shall see a man who had no time for God in his life nor in his death. Acts chapter 24, you could follow along as I start reading from verse number 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. Here is the account of a man who all of his life lived without God, without regard to death, without regard to eternal destiny, but lived for the pleasures of sin. He never found time to come to the Lord. He played the fool in his life. He was appointed, Felix, was appointed by Claudius Caesar 22 years before this event. He was a scheming, crooked, conniving politician. Nothing new today, huh? He had a secret band of assassins that would, anybody who would oppose him would just somehow mysteriously show up dead, either by accident or by self-infliction. The Bible mentions his wife, Drusilla, who for 14 years was married to another man until Felix unlawfully took her to be his wife and they were living in sin. But somewhere along the line, he heard about this religion called Christianity. And you know, the world does not understand Bible Christianity today. To them, Christianity would be nothing more than going to church and going through some ritual and having some religious things done in your life. But Bible Christianity is not what you do on the outside. It is what God does on the inside. And it is not man seeking God, it is God seeking man. For he himself, who is our Savior, said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's another way of saying that all men need to be saved, for all men are lost. And the Lord came to provide salvation for them. And Felix heard about this Christianity. And he heard about this one who persecuted the church, who hated the church, who had been now converted to the very ones that he hated and became one with them. Isn't it marvelous what the grace of God can do? And he said, bring him up here. I have some questions about Bible Christianity. And maybe you do also this morning. Maybe you have some questions about what the Bible says about heaven. And what the Bible says about hell. And what the Bible says about eternal life. And how is it obtained? Well, this morning we hope to answer some of those questions in your life. And so the Bible says in verse number 24, he sent for Paul and said, tell me of your faith in Christ. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Those of you who name the name of Christ, you say you're saved. You received Christ as your Savior, and I have no doubt on that whatsoever, for that is a matter between you and God. But if somebody were to say to you, what does it mean to be a Christian, could you tell them? If somebody were to ask you, what is this relationship you're talking about with Jesus Christ, could you take the Scriptures and bring them into the same knowledge of Christ that you possess? Paul was ready. And he said, Paul, come on up here. Tell me about this thing called Christianity. And Paul wasted no time. He got right. Actually, Felix got more than he bargained for. He was not prepared for what Paul. Paul didn't go to him and say, oh, Felix, God loves you. And God has a wonderful plan for your life. I'm not opposed to the preaching of love of God. John 3:16 is still in the book. And it's a great, powerful verse. But I want you to know that it was not the love of Christ that Felix needed to know. As a matter of fact, in the entire book of Acts, you will not find the word love mentioned one time. When Peter preached and 3,000 people were saved, he did not preach on the love of God. You know what he preached? The judgment of God. And America today, is far removed from the Lord because we have forgotten to preach all the counsel of God. I preach the love of God. I preach the Friday night and the loving potter that we have. And even in the wheels of life, when that old wheel gets to spinning, if you don't know what I'm doing, you weren't here last night. and those wheels get to spinning, we can see God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. But a preacher must preach all the Word of God. He must preach all that is in the Scriptures if he's going to be an honest preacher. And so it says, Paul, tell me about the Lord. And Paul got up there, and the first thing he did is in verse 25, and he preached a three-point sermon. And it said, and he reasoned, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Wow. You know, you, my young man, and I pray it's so true that God call you to preach. And if ever on a moment's notice you're called to preach, you know they say a preacher ought to be ready on a moment's notice to preach, pray, or die. And so I want you to preach. Oh, what am I going to preach? Here's a great outline right here. And Paul got up and he began to preach. And Felix was shocked. He did not believe in the Bible. He did not believe in the God of the Bible. He was just kind of curious about a religion, about a faith, about a conversion that could take a hated man and turn him into an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Paul preached righteousness. What is that? That's the holiness of God. So little is spoken about the holiness of the Lord today. And God is holy. So much so that in the prophet Isaiah, the angels availed themselves before the throne and in thunderous voice saying, holy, 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 Lord God, Almighty, our God is a holy God. So holy that he cannot look upon sin. And that is why in those darkened hours of Calvary, when Jesus suffered and bled and died, and he who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. For the first time in all of eternity, God broke the union of his only begotten Son and turned his back upon him. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because it was at that moment that the purest of the pure, that the righteous of the righteous one became sin. And God's holiness could not look upon it and left him to die the sinner's death. And so will it be with every unrepentant sinner. You would die without Christ, forsaken of the Lord. Oh, but God loves me. Yes, that is why he sent his only begotten Son. And that is why he has given unto you the opportunity, the invitation to receive him and to turn from your wicked ways and be converted to Christ. But if in your stubbornness, and if in your rebellion, and if in the pride of your heart you refuse to bend the knee to Jesus, there is no alternative but that the judgment of God will fall and forsaken by him. And Paul preached about how holy God. Now you can imagine how Felix must have felt living in sin. He didn't want to hear about righteousness. He liked his immorality. He didn't want to hear about the holiness of God. He wanted to hear about God's forgiveness and God's mercy. He wanted to hear about God's love. But oh, he didn't want to hear about a holy God. But nonetheless, Paul preached unto him righteousness, that the sinner is guilty before God. One of the theological terms that we have in our discussions and in our sermons is the word justification. We have been justified. Somebody once tried to give that definition, that is, justified is just as if I've never sinned. No. That's not justification. Justification means to be declared righteous. You are a sinner. You are guilty. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, God declares you righteous. It's not, when I get to heaven, it won't be just as if I've never sinned. No, it will be one that has been guilty of sin, whose penalty has been paid for, and I'm there as one redeemed by the Lord. For if I've never sinned, I would not need redemption. And I would not need grace. But because I have, I need both. and they are obtainable in my life. And in your. So he preached about how holy God was. And the more you see the holiness of God, the more you're going to see the wretchedness of your own life. So many Christians are puffed up with pride. Please don't misunderstand me. I honor those of you read the Bible through in a year. Some of you have been doing it for 5 years. God bless you, and keep on doing it. And may God add to your numbers. But holiness is not just going through the Bible. Holiness is the Bible going through you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereunto. According to thy word. You'll never know your own sinfulness until you see the holiness of God. And that's what Paul preached. Well, he wasn't done yet. He had another point to his sermon. And he got on there and he talked about temperance. Talked about self-control. He talked about the rampantness of the flesh in people's lives. And don't we have that today? Have you ever seen the bumper sticker? I have. It irks me. It says, if it feels good, do it. That's the flesh of man. That which said, and Paul preached against that flesh, that craving of the flesh, desire, and satisfying the flesh. And how many today are addicted to the alcohol, addicted to the nicotine, addicted to the pornography, addicted to the influences of this old world? And under the control of Hollywood, movies, and all types of satanic devices. Moms and dads, you got some young, lovely young ladies here. And I see some young men here. Don't allow Hollywood to set the standard for their life and their dress and their actions. What did we say in Sunday school? It is written. Let the word of God prevail. But how America today is given into every lust, every desire. If you want it, you deserve it. You crave it, go get it. And Paul preached about the cravings of the flesh and the unsatisfied desires that men. Isn't that true? As we mentioned in Sunday school quickly, remember that woman at the well that Jesus went to in John chapter 4? And he said, if you knew who I was, said you would ask me and I'd give you a living water. And she said, sir, turn about this living water. She said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Why? Because the world will never satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can take the fear and the doubt of your life and cast it away and give you the peace that passeth understanding. Only the Lord can take the guilt of years past, run it through the blood of Calvary, and give a peace and a joy in your soul. Paul preached that. But then he wasn't done yet. Yet another part of his message. He said, by the way, King Agrippa, excuse me, by the way, Felix, he preached King Agrippa later. He said, by the way, Felix, He said, not only is God holy and will just there, and not only is man unsatisfied, not satisfied with sin. He said, but you know what? There's a day of judgment coming. Now that's what you will not hear in a lot of TV preachers nowadays. I won't get up there and talk about judgment. I won't talk about hell. I was in a certain state. I don't want to tell you which one it was, but it was down south. I was driving on my way to the church, and I saw a sign that says, come to the Joy Church. That was the name of it, the Joy Church. Now, I've seen some strange names for churches. I preached out in Texas in a town called Stinky Creek. You get Stinky Creek Baptist Church. I moved my church to another town. Or I guess you could be out in Ohio, in Boring, Ohio, and go to the Boring Baptist Church and the Boring Elementary School and the Boring Fire Department, you know. That's all the Joy Church. And later on, I saw an ad that says, come to the Joy Church. In the Joy Church, you won't see, you won't hear the word hell. You won't hear the word judgment and damnation. In the Joy Church, you won't feel guilty. You'll just have joy. I'll tell you something, folks. True joy comes from forgiveness. The guilt is lifted and the joy of the Lord comes. So Paul began to preach about payday, someday. He began to preach Hebrews 9:27, for it is appointed on a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. A man who denies the judgment of God simply does not know what the Bible says, and either is willingly ignorant or deliberately deceitful. For you will die. And they will have a service for you, perhaps, but you will face God. Sometimes somebody will speak to me and they will say, oh, you know, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I always have the same standard answer. I said, well, you know one thing about being an atheist? There are no dead ones. There are no dead atheists. Atheists die, but after they die, they're not an atheist anymore because they know there's a God. But it is too late. Day of judgment falls upon them. It is appointed on the men once to die. You said, preacher, don't preach negative. Preach positive. Well, I'm positive that when you die, you're going to meet God. And by the way, if you don't like negative, I guess you don't like the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Thou shalt. The truth of the matter is men rebel against those. It's like that one preacher. He got up there and he's saying, if you're not born again, you're going to die and go to hell. And next Sunday he got up there and he preached, if you're not born again, you're going to die and go to hell. And he preached the next Sunday, if you're not born again, you're going to die and go to hell. And finally the deacons kind of got him together. And he said, now, preacher, we understand you're preaching, but you know, we want more positive preaching around here. We want something more positive in nature. So the pastor said, next Sunday I'll preach a positive message. So he got up there and he said, if you're not born again, you're going to positively die and go to hell. And that's the truth today. But is there a hell? Is there an eternal judgment? When you die, is that the end of it? Thank God we had the answer for that in the Bible. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. This is not a parable. The Bible is very honest. When it's a parable, it says it's a parable. It said, and he spoke a parable unto them. Parables are always very general in nature. A sower went forth to sow. A certain man did such and such. But this is an account from the lips of our Savior about the other side. You don't need a Ouija board. Don't need a crystal ball. Don't need any tarot card, don't need any of that nonsense to know the truth about the other side. For in Luke chapter 16, the Bible tells us, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. That shows you it's not a parable right there. It doesn't say it's a parable. And it uses a person, an actual person's name, Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What a pitiful sight he was, laying at the gate, sores, perhaps open, bleeding, and just oozing, and dogs coming, licking. Despicable sight. Then you had the righteous man come by with the finest of clothes, with the finest of food, walking by this old beggar. Maybe he'd throw him a few shekels. but disdain as he saw him day after day. But in verse 22, the Bible goes on and says that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Oh, what a blessed thought that is. Christian, you don't need to fear death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When a Christian dies, he never dies alone. And old Lazarus suffered in this old life. But a time came and the Lord come for him. The Bible says he had an escort into paradise. Notice what it says about the other guy. The rich man also died and was buried. That was the end of them. See, folks, and young people, listen to me. Pay attention. That's how the devil will ruin you and get you. He'll use you, he will abuse you, and then he will lose you. So much better to live your life for the Lord. It's so much better to give your life for God. It's so much better to be converted to Christ and be sold out to him and dedicate your life and your living for him. The devil didn't care a lick about that rich man. I got what I wanted out of him. Yeah, now we'll burn in hell with the rest of my people. I'd much rather have the angels carry me to paradise. But let's see what happened on the other side. For the next verse says, verse 23, and in hell. You're telling me there's no hell? Jesus just talked about it. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You say there's no pain and no suffering in hell? Then call Jesus a liar. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. See, there's no hell. What is Jesus talking about? Oh, try to spiritualize it away. Try to make up some story about it. But Jesus said what he meant and meant what he said. And he said there was a hell and he said there was a fire and there was a man that was tormented in it. You say, well, wait a minute. How could you have fire? Fire would burn something up and fire would just destroy it. And God, oh no. Have you not read about the burning bush? It was burning, but it was not consumed. If God can do it with a bush, he can do it in hell. Tormented in the flame of hell. If you don't believe in hell, then you don't believe the Bible. You call Jesus a liar. You say, well, preacher, this is not popular teaching. I'm not running for a popularity contest. I don't need your vote. I'm already elected. And we don't come to church just to feel good, but we come to know the truth, that the truth will set us free, and that will give you a peace and in your conscience and in your soul. I want you to notice that heaven and hell came immediately after death. There was no waiting place. There was nothing intermediate. They died. One went to torment, the other went to paradise. Immediately. There is no second chance, folks. The only hope you have eternity is right now. After you're dead, you could have all the candles lit you want. You could have all the prayers prayed you want. You could have all the memorial services you want. But it will not cool the flames of hell by one degree. For those who enter in surely could never enter. Hell has no exit doors. You say, but what about judgment? Well, basically, it already happened. Remember in Revelation, we said death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Let me just very quickly explain that to you. Death and hell and the lake of fire are very, very similar, but yet they're a little different. And we use the terms interchangeably sometimes. But let me just say this. Let's suppose I'm going down, this is Main Street in the front. In this Main Street, I go down Main Street, and I'm not paying a bit of attention to the speed limit. And I'm just zooming down here, and all of a sudden, one of your finest local policemen decides to inform me about my infraction of your law. And he pulls me over, and I get really nasty with him. What would you pull me over for? Why aren't you down at the donut shop? Yeah. And he says, okay, sir, driver's license, registration. Okay, well, we notice your tire's not up, the tread's not up to the standard. Oh, you're not wearing a seatbelt. Oh, this and that. And all of a sudden, things get possible. We're going to lock you up. And he brings me down, and he puts me in a holding cell. We've got bars and cement, and I'm locked up. But I'm only there until I meet the judge. When I go before the judge, and the judge finds me guilty, and he gives me a sentence, well, okay, for that, we're going to send you to the penitentiary for your sentence. Now, they both have bars, they both have cement, I'm locked up in both. But you see, one was before the final judgment, and then one is after the final judgment. So when it says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, said all of those that are awaiting the judgment seat of God, which we read a moment ago from Revelation chapter 20, then will be sentenced to the lake of fire. Very similar. Only one is before the judgment, and the other is after the judgment, with no cause of appeal and no end of its eternal sentence. Heaven and hell came immediately following death. And you notice there was conscious torment in hell. He was alive. He could see, he could hear, he could talk. He even remembered his brothers. And he said, I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place. They don't believe in God like us. And we never went to church. And we never put our faith in God. And we never knew about Jesus. And they're going to come to this place. Send them somebody to tell them about Jesus. Lazarus, go back and tell them. And the answer was simple. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear. No, they have the preachers and they have the word. Just like today. He said, but if one come back from the dead, no, they will believe. And he says, no, if they don't believe the word of God and they don't believe the preachers preaching the word of God, they're not going to believe even if one comes back from the dead. And isn't that true? For our Lord and Savior has come back from the dead. And yet the world lives in darkness and unbelief. Because it is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not the mind of knowledge. But a heart of repentance. And that God had commended all men everywhere to repent. And to be converted. A conscious torment in hell. Can you imagine? Pain that will never go away. Can you imagine? Tears that will never be dried. Can you imagine? Agony never be relieved. A torment day in. They said, well, I don't believe God would send such a send a person to such a place like that. God never sent anyone to hell. People send themselves. God has offered you everything to keep you from such judgment. You refuse it, then you have no hope. And there is no one to blame but yourself. He remembered in hell. Every lost person in the lake of fire will remember every God service they were in. You remember sitting in this church at Calvary Baptist Church here in Essex Junction in Vermont. You remember the preacher preaching week after week. You remember the missionaries. You remember the evangelists that have come in and begged and pleaded for you to walk down an aisle and give your heart to Christ and believe upon Him and call upon His name. You will remember every gospel invitation song, every verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. And you remember your stubbornness. You remember your hardness. You remember your coldness. You remember your defiance, a stain, no. to God. And throughout all of eternity, no hope ever to change it. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. He remembered. And memory could be a haunting thing, can it? I wish there were some things God would allow me to forget. But memory can haunt you, but never haunt you as much as it will on the day of judgment. Yeah, that's what Paul preached. I don't think that's what Felix had in mind, and he wanted to. Let's go back to him and finish the message. In Acts 24. Well, Paul preaches, talk about the holiness of God, talked about the flesh of man, the craving of man, the sinfulness of man, talked about the judgment that was to come, the great day coming that we sung a few moments ago. Well, what was Felix's reaction? In verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He began to shake, he began to think of his eternal destiny. But he didn't tremble toward God. For he said to Paul, and he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. He said, Paul, I don't want to hear this now. Now is not a time for me to get saved. Now is not a time for me to embrace Christ. Just go away. Listen, you will not solve your problem by staying away from church. You will not solve your problem by casting out the preacher. Your problem is not with the church. Your problem is not with the preacher. Your problem is with God himself. And so I just get rid of the preacher, I'll get rid of my problems. I just won't come to church and hear that. It's like saying you have a cancer, but I'm not going to go to the doctor or hospital to get it treated. It won't get any better. It'll only get worse. He says, Paul, get out of here. I've had people tell me, says, I don't like your preaching. I'm not going to come and hear you preach. I said, well, man, I don't like my preaching either. But you have to understand, it's the word of God that matters. And that I cannot alter. He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call you back and we'll talk about this. Preacher, don't call me. I'll call you when I'm ready. But Felix never got ready. We don't know. There is no record of him calling for Paul and says, I am ready. And as far as we know, while you and I sit in this building, Felix burns in hell. The torment that we have seen in Luke chapter 16. Why? Because he didn't repent of his sin. He didn't turn from his iniquity to Christ. He trembled, but it wasn't toward God. I remember another man that trembled. He was a jailer. Paul and Silas were locked up. So what can you do in jail? Well, they sang the praises to God. And all of a sudden, remember the earthquake? The prison doors were open. Remember the jailer come in? And he saw the prison doors open, and he thought everybody had fled, and that would mean his life is, I'm not going to die by the hand of the government over here. I'll rather kill myself because I know how they torture, and I know how they hurt. I'm just going to get it over with. And he drew his sword, and he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, sir, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And the Bible says, and he trembled. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. Two men trembled. One trembled away from God. The other trembled toward God. Which way will you go today? Which way will you lean? You're here this morning and you have never opened your heart to Christ. You have never come to the point of realizing that he died for your sins and that you cannot avail by any of your works, why don't you this morning consciously, purposely, convictedly of your sin, come to Him and receive Him as Savior this morning? Many of you, the vast majority of you this morning could say, "Preacher, I have done that. I saw the smiles on your face when we sang a few moments ago, happy day, happy day," as you thought back to that time and that place and those circumstances of your life when you embraced Christ. And I know you'll say, "But let me ask you." Felix said, "It's not convenient for me. It's not convenient for me to get saved now." I wonder how many in hell, because Christians have said, "It's not convenient for me to go calling. It's not convenient for me to give out tracts. It's not convenient for me to witness." And to think that there will be those in hell because it wasn't convenient at this time in our life with all that's going on for us to be about our Father's business in winning souls. If you were to look around the church at each other, how many are here because of you? How many will be around the throne of heaven because of you? I'm going to challenge you this morning as I close my message and I'm done preaching. I'm going to meddle for 2 minutes and we're going to sing a song. We're going to go home. But I wonder this morning, Christian, if you will say, "Lord, this year, help me to bring someone to Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's convenient or not. If I have to get out into the cold, or if I have to go out of my way, if I have to do something that's inconvenient for me, if they can come under the sound and the word and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I'm willing to do it. There's blood on my hands today. I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed about opportunities that it was not convenient for me to tell somebody about Jesus and they died." The hardest thing for any preacher to face is what happened to me when I was pastoring many years ago. Somebody, a member of my church, came to me and said, "Brother Sousa, I have a real good friend. They're in a hospital, and I think they're going to die. And they're not saved. Would you go tell them the gospel?" They gave me the hospital name, the room number, and the patient's name. I put it on my desk Sunday night after service, and Monday I went to the church office, and it was on my desk, so, "Oh, I got to go make that hospital call." And then the phone rang, and I go, "Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, I forgot all about that. Okay, I'll be done." And you know how things go. Monday had passed. And Tuesday I go back, and the note is on my desk. I said, "I got to make that hospital call." And then somebody would stop by the church. "Hey, preacher, you know we need to..." And I go, "Oh, yeah, let's get on that right away." And Tuesday had passed. Wednesday, I said, "I know these folks are going to see me in church. They're going to ask me if I said, I got to get there today." And the phone rang, and it was the one who gave me the note. I said, "Preacher, I was wondering about my friend in the hospital." "Oh, yes, you know what? It's right here in front of me. And as soon as I say goodbye to you on the phone, I'm going to go right down to the hospital, and I'm going to talk to him about the Lord." They says, "Well, you don't need to do that." And I said, "Oh, are they better? Are they home now?" He says, "No, they died last night." And I had to face that person. It wasn't convenient. I could only hope that somebody else who walked a little closer to the Lord perhaps would have witnessed to him on that hospital bed. Otherwise, the blood is on my hands. I'm done preaching. Has God touched your heart? Are you absolutely sure of your eternal destiny? Sister, would you come to the piano, please? What about your eternal destiny? Is there any doubt? It says, well, I'm not sure. Why don't you make sure this morning? Get the matter settled today. Drive the nail in the board and said, I wasn't sure before, but this morning I settled the matter before God. And I know I'm saved now. I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. You see, well, I said a prayer. I'm not talking about saying prayers. I'm talking about being converted by faith in Jesus Christ. You say you're saved? What's new in your life since you've been saved? The evidence of eternal life is a changed life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. He'll behold, all things have become new. What's new in your life? Since you say, okay, I said a little prayer. Okay, what's changed in your life? No change? No conversion. That's what conversion means, right? Convert means to change. So what's changed? This morning, if there's any doubt whatsoever, don't go to that lake of fire. But come to Jesus. Christian, can I ask you this morning to say, help me this year. Tell somebody about Jesus. Think of somebody you know, or maybe somebody you don't know, that you can bring the gospel to. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I'm going to have a word of prayer. And just before I do, I wonder this morning, if somebody's here that would say, preacher, I'm not really sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I mean, I believe in God. Yeah, well, the devils also believe, the Bible says. But I have some doubts. I'm not positively sure. This morning, I want to be sure. Nobody's looking around because you're not here to embarrass anybody. And I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. And you say, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? I want to be absolutely, positively sure that I'm born again and go to heaven when I die. I'd like to pray for you. I won't call your name. I probably don't even know your name, but I'll pray for you. You say, preacher, pray for me. I want to be sure that I'm saved this morning. And I want to give my heart to him. Would you just raise your hand, let me say, is there someone like that this morning? How many would just raise your hand high enough, long enough so I see it, and just pray, preacher, just pray for me. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to be saved. Would you just put your hand up right now? Just put it up so I can see it, and I'll know that you want me to pray for you. How many this morning? Is there somebody this morning? Quickly, just slip it up high enough, long enough. Young lady, young man, husband, wife, mother, father, son, daughter, this morning. You say, preacher, get me in on that prayer. I want to be sure, absolutely sure of my eternal life. I don't want to go to that lake of fire called hell. Pray for me this morning. Is there somebody? Just let me see your hand. Put it up. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't listen to him. But you listen to God this morning. Just let me see your hand. How many this morning? Put it up. Put it up, put it up. Let me say it, and I'll remember you in prayer this morning that your soul would be safe with Jesus Christ. God bless you. Yes, young man, God bless you. Thank you. Is there someone else this morning? It says, I want to be absolutely sure. Is there someone else? Would you put your hand up high enough? I'll pray for this one. I can pray for you as well. Get the matter settled this morning. Is there someone else? Preacher, get me in on that prayer. I'm raising my hand right now. Would you do it? Would you just put it up? Let me say it. And let me pray for you. Don't let pride get in the way. Is there someone else this morning? Christian, this morning, then, let me ask you. Have you let opportunities pass? I have. A new year. A new start. A jump start. Would you be willing this morning to tell the Lord, even if it's inconvenient, I want to tell somebody about Jesus this year? Would you just raise your hand? Let me see it, Christian. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together as I pray. Father, this is not an easy message for me to preach today, but I had to preach it because it's in the Bible, and I have to be true to the calling that you've given me. And even though I might have failed in so many other areas of my life, God, I want to be true in my preaching. Lord, I think of this young man that raised his hand, tender heart, just not really sure, but wants to be sure. I pray, dear God, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, move on him this morning. Give him that faith, that saving faith, to trust Christ and to know for sure that his name is in the book of life. And Lord, tonight, there are a host of Christians that have raised their hand, Lord, this morning. There's somebody that needs Jesus. Somebody that needs the Lord. Somebody needs Jesus. And Lord, for every hand that was raised, I bring before you. Honor their faith. Honor their desires. We know thou art a great God and can do all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. My sister's going to start playing the song. And if this morning maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you need that assurance, I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are and come down here to an aisle. I'll meet you down here and have a word of prayer with somebody. Have a word of prayer with you, sealing your desire to know eternal life for your soul. You say, well, preacher, that's a long us. Not as long as Calvary was. Not as long as that walk up to that blessed place where he died for you. And if he could die for you, you could walk an aisle for him. And now, I'm going to be a little bold with you. Many of you raised your hand as a Christian and said, Lord, help me tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to ask you to seal that at the altar this morning. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are. And come, and I understand that everyone can kneel. I understand that. But then just come, sit in the front row, or stand on the side. But leave your place of comfort where you are. Oh, preacher, it's not convenient for me. Talk to Felix about convenience. I'm going to ask you to be inconvenient and to step out from where you are and come to this altar and say, on behalf of those that you raised your hand, and to come and say, God, I'm sealing my decision right now. Would you come? Just as I am without one plane, you come. God bless you. That's right. That's right. Bless your heart. If you can't kneel, that's right. Just stand and just go to the side. Yes. Inconvenient? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's easier for me just to stand here. Yeah, I know. It is convenient. But I don't want a convenient Christianity. But I want a Christianity that's living and vibrant in my life. You want to join these at the altar? Why don't you just come right now? Father in heaven, I'm so glad this morning. I don't have to clean up my life to bring it to you. But I come with the rags of my self-righteousness and you clean me up. You washed away the sin. You washed away the iniquity. You made me pure. I'm not pure, but you have declared me righteous through the blood of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I don't care if it's inconvenient. I don't care if it's dark or cold. I want to do your work, live my life for you. Somebody needs us to tell them about Jesus. For these that are at this altar this morning, I ask you to honor their prayer. And Lord, may 1 year from now, they look back, should you tarry your coming, and said, I kept my promise. to tell somebody about Jesus. Honor their faith, and may souls be populated today. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Let's sing the first verse of that song. We know the song, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." Let's sing together. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee. Wasn't it a happy day when you came to Jesus?
Yes. Make it a happy day in somebody else's life. Can we sing that chorus one more time? Then I'll turn it over. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins. And maybe next year somebody new will be down here singing it because of what God did this morning. Singing together. Happy day.
He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away.
All God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. What a great day. 6 o'clock again tonight. If you want to know about the clay, be here at 6 o'clock. Amen. Also, the invitation hasn't stopped. If you need to talk with someone before you leave, then ladies, my wife, and Faith will make themselves available. Brother Dan, myself, Brother Jim, will make ourselves available.
Yes, that's right.
But don't leave here. God's touched your heart, and you need to talk to someone. We'll talk to you. Father, again, we thank you for this time we can be together in the house of the Lord. Father, we just thank you for the power of your Spirit. We thank you for the power of your Word. And Lord, we pray that as the decision has been made today, that, Lord, this would be a huge change in hearts and homes. And Father, a change in the ministry as well. And Father, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the honor and the glory for the work that you have begun and will continue to do. Now, Father, dismiss us, we pray, with thy blessings in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.